Manx Radio Sport.
Hello and welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368. If you have been tuning in to Radio Caroline, just to let you know, that is continuing right now on Manx Radio DAB and digital. To switch to DAB or digital on Manx Radio if you want to keep tuning in to Radio Caroline. Meanwhile, here on AM 1368, we are going to be taking a look at all the sporting action across the Isle of Man from today's football, rugby and hockey matches in what has been a pivotal weekend, particularly in the conclusion to the Manx hockey season. But first, before we get into anything else, here are the classified sports results for Saturday, the 13th of April. They are as follows. Starting in football, the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Moran 1, Ramsey 1. Douglas Royal versus Laxey postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Peel 12, Braddon 0. Russian United 2, St George's 0. Ayr United versus St Mary's postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. In DPS Limited, Division 2. Pulrose United 1, Malou 12. Douglas High School Old Boys versus Onken postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Jims versus Castletown postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 5, Douglas and District 2. Foxdale versus Colby postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. And Governors Athletic versus Michael United postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. In Canada Life, Combination 1. Ramsey 3, Moran 2. Laxey versus Douglas Royal is a late result. Braddon 2, Peel 1. Corinthians 5, St John's United 3. St Mary's 3, Ayr United 1. DPS Limited, Combination 2. Onken versus Douglas High School Old Boys postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Castletown 3, Jims 1. Douglas Athletic versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys is a late result. Colby versus Foxdale postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. And Michael United versus Governors Athletic is a late result. And in the Northwest Counties Football League Premier Division, Barnoldswick Town 5, FC Isle of Man 2. Turning now to rugby. The Manx Cup. Douglas 79, Vagabonds 7. And in hockey, the Ladies Bowl Final. Castletown D 3, Ramsey B 1. The Ladies Plate Final. Vikings B 1, Valkyries B 2. The Men's Cup Final. Backers A 5, Vikings A 0. The Men's Plate Final. Vikings B 2, Castletown B 1 is a latest result. In the Under-15s League, Vikings 0, Backers 9. And Valkyries 6, Castletown Sabres 1. Those are your classified results across Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey so far today, Saturday the 13th of April. Well, let's turn our attention to the football side of things first. We've heard of FC Isle of Man's 5-2 defeat away at Barnoldswick Town this afternoon. We'll be hoping to try and catch up with FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones in the not-too-distant future on tonight's show. But let's turn our attention first to the Isle of Man football fixtures. Of course, the weather decimating a lot of the fixtures as it has done in previous weeks here on the Isle of Man, but nevertheless, still plenty to talk about. And as usual, here to go through it all with us is Tony Meppen. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
Let's take a look at the Canada Life Men's Premier League then. So just to run through those fixtures that were postponed ahead of today, Douglas Royal versus Laxey and Ayr United versus St Mary's, both respectively due to waterlogged pitches. Well, let's take a look at what happened out at Memorial Playing Fields. Tony, the game you were at today. Moran up against Ramsey, and Moran, of course, still very much in that battle for survival towards the bottom of the table up against a Ramsey side who have been strong throughout the season so far. And Tony, you thought that Ramsey might just have a little bit too much firepower maybe against the Moran side, who seem to lift themselves, as we've seen in recent seasons, against teams toward the top, and particularly when they need results. And they've done so today. It's finished all square. Moran 1, Ramsey 1. Who will be the happier side today, do you think?
I think Moran, to be honest with you, because Ramsey, it doesn't really affect their league position. Yes, they're having a bit of a tussle with Sol Alaxi, St Mary's, for that third spot. But today it was Mikey Callister who started it all off. Good move down the right-hand side by Tom Redmond. Played the ball nicely into the penalty area, and then Mikey Callister just spun and fired it past James Rice. He stood no chance, to be fair. Good finish and good move. But then the goal for Ramsey, that made it 1-1. Again, down the right flank and a good cross in. I thought Matthew Montgomery was going to connect first, but he didn't. And Dylan Pickles was nicely placed to make sure. And he finished it off. Probably the one for me was Sam Robertshaw, the young left-back for Moran, because Ramsey had pushed up. Moran had pushed up. They were all near enough by the halfway line. He saw the keeper on the edge of his box and thought, I'll have a dink at this one, and hit one from his own half and just went wide of goal. It would have been a belting goal if it had gone in. But second half was fair game, to be honest with you. Could have gone anywhere. And I think Matthew Montgomery will look at it and think he had probably the better of the chances to give the maximum points to Ramsey. But it didn't happen. Massive point for Moran, Rob, when you look at that league table, and with Geordie's getting beat today. And Ramsey, they'll be disappointed, but it's been a great season for them, and they've still got five games to play, so it's all in their hands to try and get that third spot.
So as you already pointed out, there are points on the board there from Moran. You've also said, of course, today defeats for Braddon and St George's around them today. We'll come to those games in a bit more detail in a moment. But also Union Mills, who are in the midst of that battle at the moment. No game this weekend. So Moran, no doubt, confidence will certainly have been lifted with a result of that kind.
Hugely. And I spoke to David Brew, the manager, after the game. And I think he's got a good squad there. And the squad's too good to go down. There's some young players who've come in. I look at Adam Scarfe, Charlie Scarfe, Tobler Edmund. I like him. Carl Hartman had a bit of a quiet game up front today. But as you would expect, the Macquarie boys at the back were strong. Robert Shaw's come in and he looks a player. I would say it's not panic stasis for Moran. If they can survive in the top flight, then I think they can build on those positions. But when you look at Braddon, we'll come to their result in a minute, and you look at St George's as well, it's all that three-way tussle, and I think a lot of it's going to hinge, Rob, on the Union Mills and St George's game, because that'll be played in probably a couple of weeks' time, and I think it's all pressure on those two sides.
Well, very quickly before we do turn to the next game, the Canada Life Men's Premier League, we have a full-time result from the men's plate final in Manx hockey, and it has finished Vikings B2, Castletown B1. So Vikings B are crowned men's plate champions. We'll get the reaction from our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham later in the programme. But turning back to footballing matters, Peel up against Braddon out in the West. Peel top of the table and with the chance to extend their advantage over Ayr United, whose game against St Mary's was postponed this weekend, up against a Braddon side. Rock bottom with 9 points at the moment. And Tony, when we spoke on Friday Sport Preview yesterday, you mentioned that past performances by Braddon actually on Peel's turf gave cause for encouragement there. They gave it a good go and actually caused a few challenges to this Peel side, but a very, very different story today. Peel, a real statement up against this Braddon side, who are desperate for points now. Peel 12, Braddon 0.
Yeah, and it was 8-0 at half time. And the reason why I said that at lunchtime, I watched the game up at Douglas Road at Peel, and Braddon did really well. I think the score was, 3-2 was it on that day? But certainly today, and got a bit of information. And thanks to Colin Moore for this. A record Peel victory in first-team matches against Braddon tells its own tale. A pleasing first-team debut for 16-year-old Ben Woodridge at left-back, and a clean sheet for standing keeper Rob Cottier. I won't say what Rob's age is, but well done to Rob, who is slightly older, it says here from Colin. The goal of the game came from Luke Doherty in the 72nd minute, when he spotted the keeper off his line and hit a direct free kick over him from inside his own half. The only downside for Peel was Lee Gale, who scored in the first minute, going off before half-time with a reoccurrence of last week's injury against Laxey. So it finished up Lewis Moran with 4, Rhys Oates with 3, Lee Gale, Daniel Pickering, Luke Doherty, Aaron Castain, Paul Whitehead were the scorers for Peel. So a fantastic result that, and keeps the pressure on Ayr United at the top.
So Peel now moving 6 points clear at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League, but Ayr United with 3 games in hand. So Ayr United with points still to potentially accumulate. But Tony, and I think you and Paul Moran on Saturday Live earlier looked at this as well, the fact that what this will do for Peel's goal difference towards the end of the season, for some, particularly if you're in the battle against relegation or battling at the top, when you get into those last few games, it can almost feel like an extra point, can't it, if you've got the upper hand there?
Definitely, and it's in sort of Ayr's hands because they've got to keep winning the games, and that puts Peel now on their goal difference of 75, as we're with Ayr United 44. Ayr United have got six games to play. When you roughly look at it, Rob, we've got roughly 6-7 weeks of the season to go. So if Ayr have a run in that Hospital Cup, then it means that they're going to be playing two, if you like, full-on competitive games right the way through because they want to stay in that cup. So, you know, it's advantage Peel at the moment. Ayr United have still got some suspensions to tidy up as well, get them out of the way. So I'm not saying there's pressure on them, but it's making it very, very interesting at the top of the table.
And the other game that took place in the Canada Life Men's Premier League today saw the ECAP FA Cup winners from a few weeks ago, Rushen United, hosting a St George's side who were right in the mix with the likes of Braddon, Moran and Union Mills in the battle to avoid the drop. A tough task today for St George's heading to the south of the island, and Rushen United, who've been resurgent in recent times, adding to that tally again. They've beaten St George's by 2-0.
Yeah, reasonable result, I think, for St George's because, you know, 2-0's not too bad. Leo Tregurtha got one in the first half, I think it was. Luke Roberts got the second one to make it safe. So a good 3 points for Rushen, and that now moves Rushen within a point of St John's and Corinthians, but still in eighth place.
So quickly, just taking a look at that battle at the bottom, Tony. Obviously, we've mentioned about the battle between Peel and Ayr United at the top. So just before we move on to DPS Limited Division 2, where do we stand points-wise with the teams battling to avoid the drop in the top flight?
Right, looking at the bottom, 11th place now is Moran, who have played 21 for 15 points. Then just below them is St George's, who have played 19 for 14. And then at the foot of the table is Braddon, who have played 21 for 9. And they play 24 games. So Braddon have got 3 to go. So if you add 9 points, 18, they would stay up. But it's a big, big ask now. And certainly conceding them goals as well. It works the other way, doesn't it? Sort of, minus 52. So now they're minus 64. So that's an awful big difference between them, St George's and Moran.
Very well. Let's take a look at DPS Limited Division 2, and the weather certainly having an impact on the schedule in this particular league. Just two of the six games that were scheduled in DPS Limited Division 2 today went ahead. One of those was between Pulrose United up against Maloo, and the visitors sending out a real statement. What a ruthless performance this is away at Pulrose United. Pulrose 1, Maloo 12.
Yeah, and I think Maloo were 7 goals up at half time. Don't know who got the Pulrose goal, but definitely the star of the show today was Brandon.
7-1 at half time. Harley Corlett was the scorer for Pulrose United. Thank you for the listener who's just sent that through as well.
Yeah, Brandon Krippner was with a hat-trick. Mike Kenny got 2. Paddy Cooper got a couple of goals. Kieran Krippner got 2. And then Nathan Berry, Nathan Archibald and Danny Bailey got the other one. And as you say, cracker result for Maloo, 12-1.
One of the other details we've been sent through as well, that Pulrose finished the game with 9 men. The other comment here that we've got is a good run out for Maloo and some superb goals against a depleted side. That's the message that we've got through there from one side of things. So a tough day again for Pulrose United in Division 2. Well, the other game that did take place in Division 2 was between Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys and Douglas and District, and the home side up in the north of the island taking all 3 points today with 5 goals, beating Douglas and District by 5-2.
Yeah, that's a good result for Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys. Ollie Cameen with 1, Jamie Brew, Matty Cork, Ross Crawford on the score sheet again from the penalty spot. Tony Corlett as well back in the team. For Douglas and District, it was an own goal, and Daniel Hoyes got the other one.
I'm just looking at DPS Limited Division 2 towards the top of the table. Very tight and congested, I should say, between Onken, Castletown and Foxdale at top. Just 3 points separating the three sides going into this weekend. And of course, well, There's nothing different to say at this point between those three sides, because all those three sides involved at the top, all their games were postponed. So Onken's game at Douglas High School, Old Boys, was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Castletown's trip to Jim's, postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. And Foxdale's home tie against Colby, also postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. So I suppose that chapter continues, doesn't it, Tony?
It certainly does. And midweek games come in again on Tuesday, so we'll see how those go. But just looking at those top three, you've got Onken, who've played 17 for 44. Castletown played 18 for 42, and Foxdale have only played 15 games with their 41 points on the board. So there's an awful lot of football to be played there, and these sides play 22 games.
Very well. Let's take a look at the combination leagues as well. And quite interestingly, the only league that is unblemished from the bad weather that we've had on the Isle of Man over the last week or so is Canada Life Combination 1. All those games going ahead today. We'll start with the early kickoff, and that took place at the ball between St Mary's and Ayr United. St Mary's, good result for them, beating Ayr United by 3-1.
Yeah, and well done there to St Mary's. And they really sort of had a good battle today. And I'm just looking to see if I've got the scorers on that one. I have, and it's Nathan Holzall with a couple of goals. Chris Downing got one, and finished up St Mary's 3, Ayr United 1, and St Mary's are third in the league. Puts them on 38 points, so 5 points behind Ayr Rushen, but have played a game more.
And the Ballaclone Stadium in Combination 1, Ramsey up against Moran. The game between the two first teams in the Premier League was a close encounter in a stalemate. This was a close one, but this time, in the Combi side of things, the Northerners just about coming out on top in what sounds like a very entertaining game. Ramsey 3, Moran 2.
Yeah, I heard Moran were leading 2-1 at one stage, but a good second half by Ramsey. Haven't got any scorers on this one, unfortunately, Rob, unless you've got them there.
Haven't got them in front of me, so if anyone has the details out there of the scorers in that Canada Life Combination 1 match between Ramsey and Moran, please do text them through 166 177. Elsewhere, a result that we are waiting on, or were waiting on at the very least, Laxey versus Douglas Royal in Canada Life Combination 1. Tony, have we had any further update from there?
No,
we haven't indeed. So yes, if we do have any details from that Laxey versus Douglas Royal Combination 1 game, as always, send them through 166 177. Elsewhere, Braddon up against Peel, and although the Braddon first team certainly second best against Peel in the men's Premier League, the Combi team doing the business against the Westerners. Braddon 2, Peel 1.
Yeah, and these two teams here got a lot of good young players playing for them, so it was always going to be a close battle. Joe Tier and Andy Marshall. Andy's not so young, but still scoring goals. So it was Braddon 2 at one stage, but I think Peel got one late on. George Taylor, it was, from the penalty spot to make it Braddon 2, Peel 1.
And an 8-goal thriller over at Bala Fletcher between Corinthians and St John's United. Corinthians 5, St John's United 3.
Yeah, I haven't got St John's goal scorers, but for Corinthians it was a hat-trick for 16-year-old Chester Bell. Well done, Chester. Lewis Radcliffe got one, and Kane Riding completed the scoring there for Corinthians.
And then into DPS Limited Combination 2. Three of the five games went ahead today in Combination 2. The two postponed games, Onken versus Douglas High School Old Boys and Colby versus Foxdale. Both of those called off due to waterlogged pitches. Well, in the south of the island, Castletown up against Jims, and Castletown coming out on top on home turf by 3-1.
Yeah, Baby Driver Glover got the first one for Castletown. Aidan Sansbury and Kean Cottam got the other one. Haven't got Jims' goal scorer.
And taking a look, Douglas Athletic and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. That was the score we were waiting on. Tony,
still
any further update on that?
No, still haven't got that one.
So, yes, as usual, any details on that game, Douglas Athletic versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys in Combination 2, please do text us 166 177. And the other game that took place, Michael United up against Governors Athletic. Another close encounter today, but Michael United coming out on top by 3-2.
They did, and Nathan Farragher with a goal. Brendan Harrison got one, and Callum Madden got the other one. And I think it was Callum's goal that won the game. So well done to him. 3-2.
Well, we're hoping to, just in the next couple of minutes, we'll be looking to link up with FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones after his side's defeat away at Barnoldswick Town this afternoon. But Tony, very quickly as well, one thing that actually kicked off this weekend and is going to be something that is more noticeable throughout April, there is a new campaign looking to instill greater respect within the junior football side of things on the Isle of Man. For those who haven't heard yet, could you just tell us a little bit of what it's all about?
Yeah, basically what it's all about, there was a couple of sort of incidents, or there's been a few more, to be honest with you, at junior league football, and it's just more of a guidance to everybody out there to just ask them to sort of calm down a little bit. Yeah, we've always had competitive parents. We don't want to sort of take that out, but just channel it in the right way. Players as well can just get carried away, and we're talking right the way through the age bands, and also, you know, just coaches. Coaches are there to coach, you know, we get that, but the most important thing is the children, male or female, have the enjoyment of playing football. And at the moment it's sort of being sidetracked a little bit by maybe too many people being competitive. So the Manx FA, Dave O'Flanagan has led it, have written up this respect campaign, if you like, brochure. And certainly this weekend there are no parents allowed in the 3G pitch facilities that players or parents are allowed in. The ball's not won, because coaches can still go down there, no problem. But the rest of them, you've just got to sort of take this as a bit of a warning, because, you know, player safety, parent safety, and also coaches' safety is paramount. And I can see Ben shaking his head here, so I don't know if he's just seeing a little bit of change in your sport as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've brought in on the pitches, the teams are one side and the parents and supporters are on another side, and it's only players that are playing and the coaches or managers are allowed to be on the players' side. No one else is allowed to be on the other side. They have to be on the spectator side if they're going to be at the game.
Yeah, so I think it's just one of those things that are creeping in, Rob. And, you know, we've got a lot of footballers out there playing, and we just want them to have the right direction, what's expected from them. So that's why they've done this. And it's going to go for, I think it's 3 weeks in total, and just see if we can just, you know, get this one put to one side and just concentrate on the main thing, which is the children's enjoyment.
Well, Tony, we may revisit that in just a couple of minutes' time, but for the moment, we'll just turn our attention quickly to the NWCFL Premier Division. FC Isle of Man were involved in part two of a gruelling doubleheader of two games in less than 24 hours today over in Lancashire, up against Barnoldswick Town. The Ravens in form, but that hasn't had the desired effect today for the Ravens. They've lost out away at Barnoldswick Town by 5-2, and we can be joined live now by FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones. And Paul, just very quickly, of course, it's been a very busy weekend for yourselves. A lot of changes had to be made going into this game, given how close this game was to the game against Colne on Friday night. So a 5-2 defeat, first off, very generally, just your thoughts on your side's performance today.
Yeah, we started the game very well and took a good lead, and then, you know, as the first half kind of wore on, we conceded a couple of goals that weren't really like us, really, compared to how we have been playing and certainly how we played last night. But the pitch was, agricultural. Certainly the half we were defending first half, and we didn't feel like we quite got some offside decisions that we needed to go our way, and found ourselves behind at half time. And, you know, the players put a huge shift in and worked ever so hard in very difficult circumstances, not just the pitch, but, you know, playing in less than, you know, a second game in less than 24 hours, and, you know, did themselves proud and did the club proud. It was just too much in a short space of time, really, and it was always going to be very difficult. And we needed a day where we got in, you know, a couple of goals ahead, really, and then defended for our lives, and we didn't quite get that kind of second goal, and it just turned into a hard day at the office, really. But it sometimes those happen in football, and it is what it is, and it doesn't detract from how well we've done in recent weeks and months. And we need to just get back on the horse very quickly on Tuesday night and get back to winning ways.
Aside from the result, there was quite a lot of changes you had to make to the squad, and among those were some of the, let's say in inverted commas, fringe players in the setup this season. The likes of Jamie Corlett, Ronan McDonald and Tom Creer coming back into the occasion. Tom Creer, one of those on the score sheet today for FC Isle of Man. So from your perspective, maybe looking forward to the rest of the season and maybe even further than that, for those players who've maybe been on the outskirts of the squad in terms of regular game time, did it give you an opportunity to maybe just assess the sort of depth you've got going forward?
Yes and no. The conditions were terrible, you know, in terms of a playing surface point of view. And, you know, Barnoldswick probably coped with that a little bit better than us on the night, on the day, sorry. To look at a player or players and look at that as a fair reflection of how they might play at this level of football is probably a little bit unfair. You know, they all acquitted themselves fine. You know, you could see that there wasn't quite the connections and fluidity in our in possession and out of possession play because we had to make so many changes, and, you know, but we needed to do that to try and have as many fresh legs on the pitch as possible. So everyone did really well, and, you know, people will be judged on, you know, other games and today, and, you know, they've been brilliant from day one. You know, our place in the league and how we've gone, especially since Christmas, is testament to how every player who trains with us has gone about their business. And, you know, just because, you know, a certain group of players might have been winning games over the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks, every single player who trains with us contributes to that, and they've been brilliant for us.
And just a quick word as well on the support that you've had over this weekend. There were a few fans that made themselves heard at the game at Colne on Friday night, and we understand that there was over 100 FC Isle of Man supporters at today's game against Barnoldswick Town. So for yourselves and for the supporters, not the result you hoped for, but just what can you say about the support that you've received this weekend and away from home in general so far this season?
It's been unbelievable. It's just, grown exponentially, really, over the last kind of 6 months or so. And Bruce and the 12th man and that group who organise it all and make people feel so welcome, so it turns into a real family. Good time, day out, you know, it's testament to it again, to all their hard work. So yeah, it was brilliant. You know, they didn't stop singing from the minute they kind of marched in and the minute they marched out after the game. And you know, it makes such a difference to us, especially on a weekend like this where we're playing so, you know, a high level of football in back-to-back games. You know, it made it easier for the players in what was already difficult circumstances, and they've done that every game that we had so far this season, away from home especially. And it means the world really to the club and to the players, and long may it continue.
And just one final question for you, Paul, because I'm very aware that you, the team and the supporters have all got to catch a ferry home this evening. So we're looking forward into what's going to be another busy week next week. Game against Charnock Ridge on Tuesday night and then Earlham on Thursday night before AFC Liverpool travel to the Bowl on the 20th of April, so a week today. What is the situation with regards to squad availability and selection over the coming days with this busy schedule?
Yeah, we've got really good availability. You know, it's we're looking to get really strong sides out and groups out. So that's not an issue at all. You know, our aim is, as I've said to you a few times recently, is to finish as close to fifth place as possible. You know, that's our aim, and to get as high up the league as we possibly can before the end of the season, to lay really strong foundations into next season. You know, so that continues to be the aim. You know, 4 years ago, the players on the Isle of Man and everybody else involved didn't have this sort of opportunity to play or contribute or participate in this level of football. And we've got, you know, people would give an eye teeth to be able to play five games of football at this level. And, you know, we've got four games of football at this level, and we've got that opportunity over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully everybody's still hungry enough to take it with, to take it with both hands and really kind of push on to continue a strong finish towards the end of the season. So yeah, nothing really changes today. It's just about us taking every opportunity to improve as individuals and as a group, and make sure that we leave the shirt and we leave the football part of the club in as good a place as we possibly can season to season. And you know, we've got a good, really good committed group of players over the next kind of couple of weeks to make sure that happens.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for your time as always. Commiserations on the results, and wishing you, the team and all the supporters a safe journey home this evening. Thank you for your time.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you.
Paul Jones, FC Alabama manager there, after his side's 5-2 defeat away at Barnoldswick Town this afternoon. Well, Tony, just whilst we were chatting to Paul there, we've had a couple of updates on results that we previously didn't have from the Isle of Man games today.
Thanks to Malcolm Kelly from Ramsey. Combination score, they won 3-2, and Ramsey remained top of the league. Austin Hart got one. First, Egan got a goal, and Marcus Koski got the other one. And I think you've had a score in for, was it Douglas Athletic?
DPS Limited combination 2, so it finished Douglas Athletic 6, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 1. And I have had a message in with some scorers. Two of the scorers, Joe Rayside and John McMullen. And then there were 4 goals, 2 apiece for, and they've only been coined this, Fordian Penno.
Fordian Penno, I think that'll be Daniel Pennington will be one, and Lee Ford will be the other.
If that's the case, then it could be two goals apiece for Fordy and Penno between them, as well as Joe Rayside and John McMullen. We don't have the scores from Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys, but thank you for sending those details in. It is very much appreciated. Well, Tony, just quickly, before we speak to Dave Christian on the rugby side of things today, just coming back to this this campaign that's running around junior football, you've already outlined some of the information that's of what's going to be happening over the coming weeks. Talking about the incidents that Mr. O'Flanagan's talked about, and you yourself have pointed out, these measures have come in this weekend to give junior players that, I suppose, that safe space almost. Does it feel a little bit like a short-term solution? Is there something more long-term that's needed to improve the situation going forward and into the future?
I think we all have a part to play in it. I think the clubs have a part to play in it. The managers do, the parents do, and the players do. So if we can all come together and get it sorted, then that's what we want. You know, we don't want players getting suspended, sent off, or parents into trouble, or coaches into trouble. We just want an easy life, if you like. And, you know, if we don't nip it in the bud now at this sort of age, then it's just going to carry on in Masters football. And I'd also say let's take it on board as well, the respect campaign for senior football, because that can be in there as well. And I watched a game today, and, you know, Moran against Ramsey. There was nothing in it at all. It was well refereed. Both sets of players played how it should be, and that's what you want to see. So this is why we're just highlighting that there's a few little incidents that have cropped in, and it's various clubs, it's not the same club, and we just want to say that it has to stop for the better of the game and for Isle of Man football right the way through, and just teach everybody to be nice to each other.
Well, that is the Isle of Man Football Association's It's Everyone's Game campaign. If you want to find out more details of those, there is a story on that from Manx Radio over at www.manxradio.com detailing what has been happening this weekend and also what's happening throughout April with regards to that campaign. Tony, finally, looking forward, of course, the weather has meant there's a bit more head-scratching going on within the FA with regards to fixtures. It's been a tough time for the Isle of Man FA in terms of getting games on, just purely because of the conditions that have been affecting the island in recent weeks. So just how busy a schedule does it look like it's going to have to be between now and the end of the season in late May?
Yeah, it's massive now, Rob, because what worries me is now we're coming into sort of cup games next weekend, and it's right the way through, near enough to the end of the season. So we've got the Hospital Cup on the Saturday, we've got the Junior Cup on the Sunday, and if those games get postponed because of the weather, we can't really play them midweek because of the light. I know it's increasing each time. So it is a bit of a headache. And, you know, people have just got to bear with us. You know, hopefully we get the fixtures out a couple of weeks in advance, the rearranged fixtures. But the cup games, as I say, are week in, week out now. So the plan is to do the draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup on the Saturday evening after the results. And on the Sunday, we're going to do the draw. We'll sort out how we're going to do it so we can get the fixtures out for Monday. So, awful lot of football to be played, Rob.
Just out of for clarity's sake, I think it's probably the best way of putting it, for those who maybe don't know, is there a definitive cut-off date for the season for the Isle of Man FA?
It's supposed to be the 1st of June, to be fair, but we've had it before where we've dipped into it, but we're into TT then, Rob, and there's just no chance. You can't have someone playing at sort of Geordies or Governors playing at up at the grandstand. It can't happen. So we've just got to try and cram them in as much as we can. And the weather's got to break, Rob, hasn't it? It can't keep going like it is. There can't be a drop of water left up in that sky. There really can't.
Funnily enough, that's exactly. I spoke to Dean Harrison over at the TT launch early this week, who has in fact recently moved to the Isle of Man as well. I think one of the quotes he said: "Can there really be any water left in the sky?" Looking out of the window right now, here in our Manx Radio studio, we've got beautiful blue skies. How much would you look forward to having that over the coming weeks?
Definitely. I look at the weather forecast now. It's probably the most looked after thing I view. But it's like today, we had all sorts of weathers down at Moran. We had sunshine. We had nice conditions, a bit overcast. Then we had a wind. So we had the lot. So that's helping dry pitches out. But when you look at it this week alone, we've got Premier League Div 2 on Tuesday. We've got Combination 1 and Combination 2 on Wednesday. And then we've got the Cal Cup competition starting on Thursday as well. So we're really cramming it in. And people say, why don't you start the season earlier? We can't. Manx Grand Prix's on, and the clubs are the important thing. They don't want to. They want to start in September.
Very well. Well, Tony, I know plenty of catching up to do, but fingers crossed it all goes to plan. Tony, thank you very much, as always, for your time.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, we're going to turn our attention to rugby now, and the sole focus today on Ireland is around the Ravenscroft Manx Cup. Action taking place at Portishead this afternoon, where the reigning champions Douglas up against another of the island's high-ranked sides in the English club competition's Vagabonds. Looked to Dave Christian, our rugby correspondent, as a bit of a mismatch on paper going into this one, but this competition has been known for the odd surprise here and there. Doesn't look to have been the case, though, at Portishead this afternoon, and with the details from the man who was down there, Dave Christian. Dave, what can you tell us about the results over at Portishead in the Manx Cup today?
Yeah, Douglas 79, Vagabonds 7. That kind of says it all, really. To be fair to Vagabonds, they made a good fist of it, particularly the opening half hour or so, when the game was pretty tight. But as the game wore on and the Vagabonds' legs started to tire, gaps were appearing, and Douglas just ran away with it, really, in the second half. 33-7 it was at half-time. Douglas into the final. They have qualified. That's confirmed now. Vagabonds didn't pick up a bonus point from this game. So Douglas are now definitely in the final. The other spot will be decided next Saturday when Ramsey play Douglas at the Murrick Park. And Ramsey need a single point from the game. So a win, a draw, or a losing bonus point would be fine for them. That would mean they automatically qualify. If they don't pick up at least a point, then it will come down to points difference. And unfortunately for Vagabonds, it's stacked in Ramsey's favour. Ramsey need to avoid defeat by more than 101 points. So it's looking like it's going to be a Douglas-Ramsey final, but you can't count on that, and we'll have to wait and see next Saturday. Blake Snell, the star today for Douglas, he picked up four tries. He seemed to be everywhere. He was playing in the second row of the scrummage, and it's very rare to find a second row forward scoring four in a match, but Blake did. Three close-range drives, one he popped up out on the wing, and the first of his four gave Douglas an early lead. Wilf Hewson soon doubled that with Douglas's second try, and Luke Highland converted both of those. After 10 minutes, 14-0 up, you thought Douglas were going to run away with it. Well, ultimately, they did, but Vagabonds did come back into it briefly. They hit back with a try from Daniel Bomwick, converted by Reese McAllister, and that made it a seven-point game. And coming up towards the half hour, it was still only 7 points separating the two, but Douglas then accelerated away. Two more from Snell in the back end of the first half, plus a try from Kyle Martin, saw them turn around 33-7 ahead. Kyle Martin got his second just after half-time. Blake Snell then went in for his fourth. Sam McCord ran in from about 70 metres after a Vagabonds attack went wrong. And as always, when you're overcommitted in attack, you leave gaps at the back, and Sam McCord certainly exploited that. Luke Highland added conversions, and Douglas were 52 points to 7 ahead. Then we've seen a very rare animal indeed, a drop goal of all things. Shea Waterworth for Douglas, the centre, had moved into standoff to play after Luke Highland was substituted. And Waterworth found himself in front of goal about 30 metres out, had a quick bang at it, and sailed through the posts. And it's the first one I've seen on Ireland for a long number of years now. Sam McCord then, he added to the score with a penalty, 40 metres out. He banged one over, wind behind, a little bit of an advantage for him in terms of distance. And I reckon that cleared the bar well enough for him to have been 50 metres out. So Ramsey will have to watch out for long-range penalties next week, depending on the wind. The final flourish from Douglas saw the tries return. And in the last 5 minutes, Owen Carvin, Craig McGee and Sam McCord all touched down, with McCord adding three conversions for his personal tally. Douglas, nothing special out there. What they did very well. The only try that was a little bit fortunate was Wilf Hewson. That was a dropped ball inside the Vagas 22, and it could have gone anywhere. Bobbled over the line, and Hewson was the first man there. So a little bit of luck with that try, but the rest of it, there was no way. Yeah, it was all good play. The backs performed really well. Shea Waterworth, I thought, had a great game, although I haven't heard from Douglas who they gave the man of the match award to, but he was very instrumental, certainly in the first half, when he was playing at centre. For Vagabonds, not much to talk about, really. Bomwick played his usual good game. Jed Snell was pretty active in the back row, particularly with his brother Blake playing for Douglas, giving him a little bit of extra spur on there. But aside from those, Vagabonds didn't really get too much into the game. Douglas didn't let them have the ball. And the Douglas scrummage was dominant throughout. So even when the play was stopped, Vagabonds hoping to get the ball back, they were getting turned over or shunted off their own scrum ball. So all in all, a workmanlike performance for Douglas. And Ramsey will have to work very hard if they want to pick up some points off them next week. Assuming we go to a Ramsey-Douglas final, it's difficult to see how Ramsey will get past Douglas. But last year, I think it was 23-14, so there wasn't too much in last year's Manx Cup final, Ramsey-Douglas. Personnel haven't changed that much, and I think if Ramsey have got a full-strength side out, they might just give them a go come the final. But it's Ramsey-Douglas next week, the next qualifying game in the Manx Cup, or the next and final qualifying game in the Manx Cup. And then Manx Cup finals coming up on the 27th of April. That will be at Ramsey's Murrick Park. We haven't got a kickoff time for that yet, but there will be a Manx plate final before it, which will be Southern Nomads against Vagabonds. So I'm going to guess we'll probably kick one off at 1 o'clock and the other at three. But we'll announce that as soon as we get details from the organising committee. But today it's well done, Douglas. Place in the Manx Cup final. Douglas 79, Vagabonds 7.
Dave Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, a dramatic 2 days now in Manx hockey, and it has been the 2024 Cup Finals weekend. Everything got underway on Friday night and has been running throughout Saturday with five trophies now in the bag for the respective clubs who've won the finals across the last day and a half or so. It all got kicked off last night as Castletown Ladies A retained their Ladies Cup crown with a 3-2 win over Backers Ladies A, and four more pieces of silverware were decided throughout today as well. And to go through it all in this big conclusion to the season, he's been working so hard over the last few months in this campaign, Ben Cunningham, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
Well, let's take a look at those four finals that have been taking place today. Everything started off, all the finals took place at the National Sports Centre in Douglas in front of a bumper crowd, always a bumper crowd during the Cup Finals weekend in Isle of Man hockey, all starting with the Ladies Bowl Final. And that saw the Castletown D, the rampant Ladies Division 2 champions, a phenomenal campaign from them up against the runners-up in that particular division as well, Ramsey B. Ramsey B may have been hoping that the Cup could have provided a little surprise for them, but Ben, Castletown D doing as they have done all season, getting the job done, and it's another piece of silverware in the bag. The Ladies Bowl secured by Castletown D, who won by 3-1.
Yeah, and I'm sure Castletown will be delighted. They've got the double, which they desperately wanted. 2-0 at half time to Castletown. Lola Hornby Wheeler with 2 and Sophie Vivian with 1. And then for Ramsey, it was Jan Butler. But congratulations to Castletown. That's not one, two pieces of silverware going down to the south.
Castletown D, this excellent season that they've had. They were, I believe I'm right in saying, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, they were the first team to be confirmed as champions of their respective league going into this. And so wrapping things up quite quickly as well. Now they've got the ladies' bowl in the cabinet, as it were, as well. So what's been the key to this really good season for Castletown D? What's gone right?
They've got a lot of players coming through all their squads, and it's really great to see. Of course, sadly, Saracens Hockey Club folded, which then meant that all the players which were split between Castletown and Saracens, all of the Saracens players went to Castletown, which then meant Castletown have had numerous teams. I mean, I think they've had about six senior teams in split in all divisions, which has been really impressive to see. But they've got such a lot of young players coming through, and then mix in a couple of experienced older players, and it's got the makings of a brilliant team, and Castletown D have been that this season.
I think this is something we also touched upon earlier in the season when it was the mixed and indoor campaigns that were going on, and we remarked on just how many teams Castletown have in those leagues at the moment, particularly in the mixed leagues as well. And as you pointed out there, maybe that's as a result of course, Saracens folding a couple of seasons ago, which of course nobody wants to see. But from Castletown's perspective and the players who were involved with Saracens, is that a positive outcome from what would have been a tough situation for Saracens at the time, that these players are continuing to get game time, and also that there is almost a ladder that you can progress up from a young age in Castletown Hockey Club right now?
Absolutely, and the player of the match for that game, which was Faith Watson, is a young under-16s player. So it just goes to show that you've got great talent just coming through the squads.
And just quickly on Ramsey B there, defeated today in the Ladies Bowl final, but a 3-1 scoreline, certainly a respectable one up against a team that's been so dominant in Ladies Division 2.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ramsey will not be disappointed with that, because they went out there and gave it a proper good go, and they didn't let Castletown run away with it, and they gave them a good game. But like we say, congratulations to Castletown, commiserations to Ramsey.
So Castletown D, the Ladies Bowl champions for 2024. The game after that saw the Ladies Plate Final taking place between Vikings B and Valkyries B. Vikings B right in the fight in Ladies Division 1, right up until the very last before they were pipped to the top spot by Ramsey A up against the Valkyries B side. And Ben, we spoke about this on Friday Sport Preview yesterday. You mentioned that Valkyries B had had a bit of an up and down season, but had really started to pick up form towards the end of this campaign. And that's exactly how it's continued when it's mattered in the Ladies Plate Final, because Valkyries B have come away with the silverware. Vikings B 1, Valkyries B 2.
Yeah, and like we said in the preview on Friday Sport, Valkyries' form really did improve coming towards the end of the season. And it's came in really vital because they've pipped Vikings B, like you say, to the Ladies Plate trophy. 2-1 at half-time to Valkyries, so the job was all completed in the first half. For Valkyries, it was Lisa Pugh and Ali Karoon. And then for Vikings, it was Molly Wheeler.
And earlier in the Saturday Live programme with Paul Moran, you did actually speak to the Valkyries B captain after that particular result. For those who missed it, what were the things that they enjoyed most about that game and taking the silverware?
Pretty much the Valkyries captain basically said everyone in that team has put in an effort and she couldn't have asked for any more. She said the season started a bit of a slow start, but she said that basically the season got better and better as the team started to gel. And she said it in her interview, the first time they met in the league, Vikings won. Second time they met in the league, Valkyries won. And then Valkyries have got them again today.
And Vikings B, frustration maybe, just missing out on top spot in Ladies Division 1 in the league and narrowly missing out here in the Ladies Plate Final. With the players that they've got, do you think that they could channel maybe that frustration in a positive way going into the next campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely something they can look forward to.
And then looking ahead to the game after that, and this was a big one, the Men's Cup Final and the meeting once again of two big rivals in Backers A and Vikings A. Backers A, the defending Men's Cup champions, who only days ago saw their Men's Premier League dominance ripped away from them by a Vikings A side who won the Men's Premier League title for the first time in over 35 years. Now, Ben, you spoke to the Backers captain, Elliot Reid, after they found out that they'd missed out on retaining the Men's Premier League crown, and he said we're going for the cup, and that's exactly what Backers have done today. A ruthless performance against the newly crowned Men's Premier League champions Vikings A. Backers A winning by 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0 there. Elliot Reid with 2, Tony Bentley Roberts, Johnny Callow and Luca Palato. 3-0 at half time to Backers, and yeah, absolutely, job was completed.
From Vikings A perspective, do you think maybe it might have been a little bit of a struggle possibly for motivation? They've done the huge job of winning the Men's Premier League title, and then to come into this against a Backers A side who were so hungry to get in there and try and bounce back. A tough situation to come into, I guess, for Vikings A in some respects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Vikings will be disappointed they didn't get the double, but Backers today came out and proved the point that they wanted to retain that Men's Cup title.
Now, of course, we are a long way from when the men's and ladies' seasons all start again in 2025. But we've seen Vikings A take the lead, Backers A take the cup. This rivalry between these two sides in the top flight just shows no signs of dialing down, does it?
Absolutely. Every season, it's always these two sides. There's always a real big battle. And it's always interesting to see which team comes out on top every season.
And just speaking from personal experience, having played in a couple of these games a couple of seasons ago, and one thing that was always very striking and something I personally enjoyed as a player was the intensity and the desire within watching those games. So from a spectator's perspective, it must have been quite a spectacle to watch as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, the crowds down there today were absolutely brilliant. There was not a lot of space where you could stand and watch. But it was really good. All the shelters were full. Everyone was along the side of the pitch. And it was just a really good atmosphere on every game.
Just what you want from a cup finals day. And then rounding everything off this afternoon was the Men's Plate Final. And that saw Vikings B taking on Castletown B from 3:30 at the NSC. And the Men's Plate going the way of Vikings B, beating Castletown B only just by 2-1, Ben.
Yeah, half-time 1-1. So it was a really close game. Alex Birch and Josh Knighting with goals each. Josh Knight, with goals each for Vikings. And then for Castletown, it was Christian Stereopoulos Really, really close game by the sounds of it. And yeah, either team could have took it, but Vikings have just pipped it.
And this was a little bit of a new look tournament almost this year, because we're used to seeing, of course, the cup, plate and bowl across both the ladies and men's divisions. That was the case in the ladies divisions and across those cup competitions. But for the men's, there was a slight change, wasn't there? Because we saw the merging of both the plate and the bowl competition. For those who don't know why, and you did explain this a while back when it was first announced, could you explain why that decision was made?
Yeah, so basically the cup, plate and bowl was, of course, it all takes place. Unfortunately, in the men's bowl, they didn't have enough teams which could form like a tournament to take place. So it was put out to the clubs in Division 1 and Division 2 for men's. Would they all be happy if it was merged as just a men's plate, the bowl teams going in against the Division 1 teams? And everyone come back with, yes, that's happy. We're happy for that to happen. And it made a real good tournament, because the Division 2 teams went up against the division, some of the Division 1 teams, and proved that, you know, if even though they're in Division 2, they're still willing, they're still up for giving a Division 1 team a good run for their money.
And that brings me on nicely to my next question. The fact that Division 2 teams were getting that experience against the Division 1 sides in the season, even if they hadn't made the final, for example, or weren't in contention necessarily, as it's turned out this season for the silverware, to get that experience as a player up against a team in the upper tier going forward, how much can you learn from that as a player?
You can learn a lot, because, of course, if you're in Division 2 and you get that promotion up to Division 1, you know that if you play a Division 1 team, you know that basically, you know what that you're going to have to look out for, what you're going to be up against, and it's a good insight into what, you know, what's to come if you get up into Division 1. But yeah, definitely I agree with you. It's a good insight for lower league teams to have this challenge against a higher league team.
So just to confirm there what we've just gone through, if you have missed it, the four remaining trophies decided in the 2024 Cup Finals weekend in Isle of Man hockey. The Ladies Bowl champions, Castletown D. Vikings B crowned the Ladies Plate champions. Backers A have retained the Men's Cup, and Vikings B winners in this year's Men's Plate. There were a couple of other games that took place today, Ben, as well, in the Under-15s League. Let's not forget.
Yeah, so we had Vikings against Backers. That was a 9-0 win to Backers. Ryan Cartwright with 5, Ollie Partings with 3, and Jasper Wheel with 1. And then the other game was Valkyries 6, Castletown Sabres 1, Charlie Valerga with 1 for Castletown. And then for Valkyries, it was William Miller with 2, Chloe Thomas with 1, Liam Harrison with 2, and Saoirse Gell with 1.
Just before we go back to the hockey side of things, we've just had details of another football result coming in that we were waiting on. Thank you very much for sending those through. One of the results we were waiting for was in Canada Life Combination 1, and it did finish Laxey 7, Douglas Royal 1, and the Laxey scorers, Jack Keelan with a hat-trick and a brace as well for Adam Carouche, goals as well for Lucas Atkinson and Dan Levine as well. So Laxey beating Douglas Royal by 7-1 in Canada Life Combination 1 earlier today. Well, Ben, just turning back to the hockey side of things, we've just talked about the under 15s league there is still a bit of a cleaning up process, shall we call it, within the under 15s league, but also in men's division 2, I believe.
Yes, so we've got a couple of midweek games this week. One of them is a under 15s league game, and then we also next weekend we've got two under 15 league games, and we also have a men's division 2 game which should decide who will be the men's division 2 champions.
Excellent. Just taking a quick look forward, obviously this sees, I suppose, what many would describe as the season coming to an end. The Cup Finals weekend tends to be the grand finale to everything. It comes just after the leagues have concluded. But as you mentioned, there's still just a bit of a tidying up process going on within the likes of Men's Division 2. But looking forward, there are things coming up over the next couple of weeks, even though the regular season has ended, as it were.
Absolutely. So coming up, obviously next week we've got them tidy up fixtures. But then the weekend after that, we've got our Veterans Tournament, which was postponed from an earlier date in the season. It's now been rearranged, and that will be taking place on the weekend of the... it will be the 27th of this month. So really looking forward to that. We're looking, hopefully, to get a bit of coverage for you on Manx Radio as well of it, because the Veterans Tournament this year is getting played in memory of a couple of very big players who have sadly passed away. And, you know, it's definitely one way we can remember them, because they all loved playing hockey, and there's no better way of remembering them by playing what they loved.
Well, we wish everyone who's involved all the very best, and we hope everyone has a fantastic day, and as you say, in memory of those that were involved in the Manx hockey community. Well, Ben, just around that side, just very quickly, if anyone is interested in maybe taking part in the Veterans Tournament, are there any ways that teams or players can get involved?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're a past player who thinks, oh, I fancy that, come back for a weekend's entertainment, please do speak to your clubs you used to play for, or you know the clubs you still keep in contact with. I'm sure that they're putting teams in, and I'm sure that they'll be able to manage to put you in the squads for what will be a very fun, entertaining weekend, but also remembering, like we say, our past players.
And just finally tonight, Ben, before we let you go, we will, of course, catch up with you in a few days' time just to have a bit of a review, I guess, of the season that's taken place. Not just the men's and ladies, of course, we're taking a look back on what was another exciting mixed and indoor league as well earlier in the campaign. The Cup Finals weekend, do you believe it lived up to the billing, and were the supporters enjoying the atmosphere down there today?
Absolutely. It's lived up to my expectations. Good close games. Lots of atmosphere down there, both last night and tonight. And absolutely another thrilling weekend, and a great way to end what's been a fantastic 2023-2024 season.
Ben Cunningham, thank you very much as always, and congratulations once again to all the Cup winners in the 2024 Cup Finals weekend in Isle of Man men's and ladies hockey this weekend. That's all we have time for here on Saturday Sport Classified this week on Manx Radio AM 1368. Thank you so much for joining us as ever, and many thanks to my guests as always, Tony Meppham, Dave Christian and Ben Cunningham. We'll now be handing back over and rejoining Radio Caroline along with our DAB and digital coverage of Radio Caroline as well. But in the meantime, have yourself a wonderful Saturday evening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. So from here on Manx Radio AM 1368, from us, it is for now goodbye.
Manx Radio Sport.